sister and my brother. I'm just so happy to do this podcast. Oh my goodness, y'all. I know it's been some time, but as you guys know, I've always told you guys in the previous podcast that anytime I'm not on for a while, it's because I'm either in the isolation of our Father and he's doing something in me, and it doesn't require me to always be podcasting every week, because if he's doing something in me right now, then that means I have to wait. And sometimes waiting is just, it's a waiting game, and it don't come easy, but it be worth it. So I pray that when I come to you guys today, you will understand why I had to do this podcast weeks past. So first off, I pray you guys are doing well. I pray that you guys are elevating. I pray that you guys are increasing in your prayer lives. I pray that you guys are just flourishing, because now you're understanding the kingdom. Now you're understanding that you have to have the word of God on you. Now you understand that when times get tough, as we all know, because we're in today's world and a lot of things are either happening around us, to us, or just happening in places where we just did not expect it to happen, right? But now we know that we have the word of God to stand on. So when I'm feeling sad, what does the Bible say on why we should not be sad, or who do we lean on when we're sad, or how do we pick ourselves up when we're sad? That's what we're supposed to do. Lean on the word of God. So yes, I know times have been getting tough, but there's also blessings along the way. There's also manifestations along the way. There's also grace and mercy, and there's so many things that are happening. So even if you're the one that feel like, I was doing good, but life hit me, right? Or I was doing, you know, my thing, but I just can't get it right. Or I just don't understand. I get good one day, but then the next day I just fall, right? If that's you, still know that as long as you keep getting back up, as long as you keep reading the Lord's word, as long as you keep applying the word, that's the Lord still showing you that you're still doing the work for the kingdom of God. So I believe that a lot of times we feel like we have to come to God already perfected. But no, it's the Lord that's going to perfect us, because we are not made perfect. So we cannot be perfect if we're not made perfect. So the only way we can look perfected is if we go to the perfecter. He's the one that can perfect the very thing that concerneth us. He's the one that can perfect us in areas that we did not even think we qualify for. So we are to depend on God, depend on his word. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. And allow his angels, when you're in fear of whatever, to encamp around you. So we are spiritually loaded, y'all. I just want you to just get that intro out real quick, because I know some of us are all in different places, but God is still God on the throne. He's not a God of disorder, but he's a God of order. So if you're going through something in your life, just know that he's mapping you out. He's pushing you into purpose. He's elevating you, and he's refining you. So today's topic, you guys, is called Let Him Break You. Let Him Break You. Let Him Break You. So my mind wanted to be like, out of all words, Mo, you want to just say break? But if I could be honest, the season that I've been in, it does feel like a breaking. And I have to use that word. So I say to you guys, because I know you see you on the topic, let him break you. Let him break you. A lot of times we don't even realize we're holding on to things that we feel is very important to us, but not as important to God. People, jobs, careers, relationships, just things. Anything that has such a big hold on us, we feel like if I don't have these things, I'm not going to make it. And I know someone's saying, I need my job. If I don't have my job, how am I going to survive? But you can't depend on your job. Some of our jobs are not even paying us the price of what we really are worth. So can we really depend on the job, or is the job doing what it's just supposed to do? So we can't even depend on our jobs. We have to depend on God. Let him break you. We say things like, I want to be delivered from this. I want to be delivered from that. But still not trying to put the work in to become new in our deliverance. So now, what do I mean by that? Deliverance is something that requires work. and I've learned that. You can't just say, Lord, deliver me from this. The Lord, deliver me from, you know, weed. Deliver me from alcohol. Deliver me from pornography, Lord. Deliver me from, just deliver me, Lord. Deliver me from whatever that is that you know that goes against the Father, right? You can't just say that out of your mouth and not put something to work. Because anybody can say, I can say, Lord, deliver me from this. And I just say, I'm delivered now. But are you really delivered in your mind? It's a mind thing. It's in your mind. So another question is, are you speaking out of your mouth or are you renewing your mind to now say, if I'm asking God to deliver me, my works is I can no longer either be around the people that are putting me in that place, or I need to remove myself from those environments that keep putting me in that place. What am I doing to put the work in to walk out my deliverance? So many of us want to be set free, but we're not willing to say, I'm willing to surrender it all to you. And it may make some of us sick. It may make some of us mentally ill. But if you're willing to make that conscious decision with the Lord, He's going to meet you halfway, pick you up, and then show you how to remain delivered and never have to go back. But we have to be willing to set the standard first to say, I'm asking God to help me, and now I know I need to put the work in. It's no different than you going to your job and you're telling your worker, your boss, that you want a raise. Before you even got to that moment of wanting a raise, what were you doing to even prove yourself that this is what you wanted? Or are you just walking up to her saying, I've been here for a year now, so I want a raise. But are you doing the work? So when you go out there, you can say, I got this raise. I want this raise. And then when she look at you, she can say, you deserve that raise. You deserve the next level because you put that work in. So it's just like the Lord. You go to the Lord. But after you come to the Lord, you have to start putting things in perspective place. You have to start going into the Word of God. You have to start doing things because it's going to come with a breaking. It's not going to feel good. It's not. And deliverance comes in many ways. The Lord can completely deliver you and you don't ever have to see that thing again. You won't feel the residue. You won't feel nothing. But there's some deliverances that come where you have to actually walk it out. Some are our traumas from our childhoods. Some are, like I said, pornography. Some are the ones where we have to actually walk those things out because they're so embedded and they're so inherited from generations and generations that some things the Lord wants us to just walk it out. And the more we walk it out, the more we can see God in the midst of walking this deliverance out, right? So, I've been struggling myself, y'all, with anxiety. And I think I talked about this in a previous podcast. And one of the things I've learned is anxiety is not real. Now, I'm talking to you guys on a kingdom aspect. So, don't hear me from your earthly way of seeing things, hearing things. Understand that there is no anxiety in the kingdom of God. There's no anxiety in heaven. So, when you are a kingdom citizen in God's kingdom, that means if you're carrying something from the earthly realm, you can be delivered from it because it goes against it. If that makes sense, I can say it again. If you are a carrier as a citizen of Jesus Christ and you're in the kingdom of God and you're carrying something that goes against heaven, goes against the kingdom of God, you can get delivered from it and the Lord can deliver you from that. Deliverance is also for the body of believers because He knows that we picked up some things along the way or some things have been inherited to us, right? So with that being said, when it pertains to things like that, we have to be willing to put ourselves in these places of saying, I need to be delivered because I know that this is not a part of the kingdom of God. So for example, I know that there's no anxiety in heaven. Right? So I now have the opportunity to be delivered from this because I am a citizen of the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't have to walk around with this. It's hindering my life. It's hindering my my way of doing things. It's hindering the places that I want to go. And I feel like the longer I stay in it, the worse it's going to get, because it does not belong in my life. It does not belong in the kingdom of God. So I have to now renew my mind every day by telling the Lord I need deliverance in this anxiety, because now I'm noticing that even if I go to a store, I feel anxious and I can't even think about, why did I even come here? Why am I overwhelmed? Or why am I looking at people funny like they're bothering me, when it's an internal thing going on inside of me, right? Or when I get around new people that I'm not familiar with, I get closed in, and if they ask me a question, I'll talk fast. Yes, y'all, that's me, your life coach, the one that is out here right now pushing the podcast out, being led by the Lord. I struggle with anxiety. That's my truth. And the Lord is delivering me literally day by day, and I'm seeing it. But it's not coming easy for me. He's breaking me. He's showing me how some of this is my fault and how some of this is not my fault. So what I mean by that is the things that are my fault is I don't push myself out there to see what I can do to be a better steward at this. So if I know that I'm struggling with anxiety, with going to the store, I'm like, I ain't going to the store at this time because I don't want to. But you got to hit it head on. You got to hit it head on. So I'm going to give you an example on my deliverance. I was in a car and I'm planning an event. And I got on the phone with one of my friends and I said, I'm planning an event and I want you to be there. And I want you to help with this. I want you to help with that. And this is how we're going to do it. And she goes, well, let us plan it. You always plan something. Let us plan it. This is your event. So let us plan it. And immediately what came on me was I was overwhelmed. I had fear. And I just felt like I had no control now over what my event was. And I instantly felt anxious. And I was like, well, no, I just feel, and I just, all these excuses, right? And she says, no, we're going to plan it. I'm going to gather this girl up, and we're going to plan it. And I said, no. So then I felt in my spirit, it's your fault. You won't allow them to do it because of what it makes you feel like. And that's not fair to them. So I had to tell the Lord right in the midst of me having a conversation with her, thank you, Jesus, that I have godly friends, because at that moment I had to confess my truth. And I confessed out of my mouth right with her on the phone. I said, Lord, this is the moment right here where I feel overwhelmed. This is the moment right here where I feel anxious. And this is the moment right here where I feel like I cannot make it over or make it through, because I don't like someone trying to take control over me. And it's not even a control thing, as you guys can see, but it's something that makes me feel like somebody's taking something from me, because that comes from a place, right? And then the anxiousness is because I don't know what's going to happen. And then the overwhelming feeling is, oh my goodness, you just snatched something from me, so now I'm overwhelmed. And you guys, as soon as I said that, I promise you, a sense of peace, and I was driving, a sense of peace just hit my body. And it was like soft electricity running through the top of my head down to my feet. And I felt every calmness hit my body. And I said, oh, shoot. She was like, what? I said, I don't know what just took place in my heart and in my body, but I don't feel that no more. And that was the Lord showing me, and your confession is where I can bring forth deliverance. So we first have to identify the problem, the issue, in order for him to start moving on our behalf. But if we don't want to acknowledge it, we're pretending, we're isolating it, we're acting like, I don't have no issue, that ain't my problem, I don't be, or I'm okay in this, until it gets worse. And it gets worse. And I also, the point where you're so isolated, now you're alone because you let that thing that never belonged in your life drive you into isolation, right? So the Lord was showing me that this is your deliverance. The more you confess, the more I can fix. The more you open up your mouth, as much as I was not even trying to say how I felt, but I knew I had to say how I felt because I could no longer go on with this conversation with her without her being uncomfortable with our conversations, right? So the Lord was showing me, this is a you thing. So at that moment, I had to tell her, give me a second. I need to confess this real quick. And it's okay to do that sometimes, you guys. Don't feel like you got to keep a conversation going when something is going on with you internally. They may not understand it, but hope to the Lord that the person you're talking to has an understanding of who Jesus is. And you can stop and just say, Lord, I confess in this moment I am struggling. Or Lord, I confess in this moment I normally will lie to buff a feeling to not make that person feel bad about the situation. But then I will go back home feeling a certain way. So it helped me to stop being a liar. Or Lord, in this moment when I feel rejection, I will go to, you know, alcohol, like confess your truth. And it may sound very ugly to you, but you don't realize that's the first step of your deliverance. That's the first step of your deliverance. So even though it's not going to come easy, it's still a first step of your deliverance. And the reason why it doesn't come easy, you guys, is because when we're not in the knowledge of God, and we're choosing to live a certain lifestyle that goes against the Lord and his kingdom, the enemy rests and rules and abides there. That's why it gets worse and it doesn't get better. It's because it doesn't belong to your life. It doesn't belong to your body. It doesn't belong to your spirit, man. Your spirit, man, can't even keep flowing in the spirit because there's something that's trying to have a hold on top of that. And you wonder why every time I try to get to this place, something keeps blocking me. It's blocking me because it doesn't belong to you. So you have to start confessing out of your mouth, whatever that is. I'm struggling with this because of this. And I realize I can't move forward. So I confess that this is what I'm dealing with. I believe it comes from this. I believe it came from this. And now, God, I'm asking that you deliver me from this. And day by day, walk out your deliverance. Amen. So John 5:6-15 says, when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked them, would you like to get well? I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else gets there ahead of me. And Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Instantly, the man was healed. He confessed. You guys see right there, before I keep going, how he opened up his mouth and told Jesus what the problem was. And Jesus then told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And it says, instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and he began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So back then, the Sabbath was like a very important time where you really couldn't do no type of like extra praying, sacrificing. You couldn't do anything. You had to literally just rest on that day. You couldn't even cook on that day. That's how serious the Sabbath was on that day. So this miracle happened that Jesus did was on their Sabbath day. So the Jewish leaders, they objected it. They said to the man, who cured you? You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. But he replied, the man who has healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk. And he says, who said such a thing as that? They demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, now you are well. Stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you. And then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. So you got two things going on here. This man just was healed. He know what he felt. He know what just happened to him. He know he's no longer sick. But then you have an opponent that comes right after to ask you, who just healed you? That's a no-no. So what he wanted him to do was go back into that place that he was just delivered from and lay there back on that place that he could not get up for years and lay there because he was going against the Sabbath day. So now the question is, who do you believe? Because when you start walking into deliverance, you're going to have two things going on. You're going to have the thoughts of your mind that's already been subjected to thinking and believing in it in its heart that, you know, this is the time to, you know, do this. It's the time to, you know, be like that. Remember, you used to be like this. All of those thoughts are going to come back because this has been in your life for years. So it's nothing to these thoughts to come back and do these things. So now the question is, what do you do? Do you walk out your healing because you know you've just been healed and run on and live? Or do you go back to that place and lay there because somebody have told you that this is who you are and this is who you should forever be? Because he had two options. He could have went back to that place because he came against their Sabbath day. But in our reality, he didn't. He realized that this had nothing to do with the Sabbath. This had everything to do with the Lord delivering him. So even God didn't care about that Sabbath day. He knew that something had to take place in the kingdom. He wanted deliverance, and that deliverance came to him. So you got to understand, in the midst of you being broken, you have to know that the enemy is going to come in and try to remind you of a place that you are from and that you are being and how you shouldn't be doing this and how it's too hard and you can't come out of it. But you got to understand that you are already delivered when you confess out of your mouth that you had an issue. That was the first step. It said instantly the man was healed. But then Jesus also told him at the end, he said, keep going. And if you don't keep going, keep going, but don't sin or it'll be worse for you. So that means don't go back and get yourself sick again. You keep walking it out, no matter this old systematic mind that tells you, yeah, we used to live here. Let us in. Let us in. We used to live here. Let us in. You have to be the one to tell your mind, I choose not to let you back in because I'm doing the work now to keep you out. You have to do that. You have to exercise your truth, exercise your authority in the kingdom of God because you have authority. And people don't want to tell you that because they want to keep you in a place. But I'm here to tell you that deliverance is your portion. So whatever it is, let God break you. Whatever it is, let God do a new thing in you. Whatever it is, allow God to do what he needs to do in you so that way you can walk out the full plan withholding nothing, without the excuses, without the fear, without the overwhelmingness, without the, you know, I can't do it because of who I am. I can't. No, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It didn't matter to Jesus that it was the Sabbath. That was a religious talk. He talking about a whole kingdom where people need to be delivered and set free. He not worried about no Sabbath day and what you need to do or how you need to keep these rituals going. Jesus seen that there was a need. It's still a part of the kingdom of God. It still did what it was supposed to do. Amen. So it may not come easy, but it's going to be well worth it when you start the process. So let him break you. Let him break you. Amen. So in the midst of all of that, I am walking on my deliverance and I'm seeing my authority. I'm seeing the truth behind what was behind this thing. I'm even seeing how deep it goes into my life. This is like a childhood thing where the Lord had to show me where it came from and how it got worse throughout the years because I never got the opportunity to get it out. And it grows. And it's because it's living in my life. It's my lifestyle. It's a part of my lifestyle. And the longer it stays, of course, the worse it get. Why, you guys? Because I said it earlier, it doesn't belong. It doesn't belong. So the fact that it doesn't belong, it's only going to get worse. And I had to acknowledge that, okay, anxiety does not belong in the kingdom of God. So either this thing has to be driven out, or it's going to try to make my life worse. And it's going to isolate me into a place to feel like everybody's against me, when those are false accusations strategically from the enemy. And the enemy loves to work best in your weaknesses. So anywhere you are dealing with a weakness, sickness, errors that you don't want to open up and confess, he's working in those areas because he doesn't want you to come out of his territory and confess that this is something that I cannot no longer do. So the longer it stays, the worse it's going to get, because it does not belong. Amen. So first, confess the issue. Speak on how it makes you feel. Speak on where you believe it came from. Speak what you want after you confess it. And then tell the Lord you want to be delivered from this because it has a hold on your life, and that you no longer want to be a carrier of this. And when you're done doing that, you have to thank him and then watch what he does. And until then, you got to get you some scriptures. Allow yourself to get started walking out your deliverance, and you got to stand on it. And if you got to remove some people, remove them, because you are now walking out something that's getting ready to change your whole entire life. Amen. All right. So I'm going to say one more thing and I'm going to let you guys go. Okay. I wanted to give like a little scenario on what happens when we have our favorite mug, right? We have our favorite little mugs or our favorite little glass. You ever notice that when you got your favorite mug or your favorite glass and you just out of nowhere just hear it crash, and it's broken into all these different pieces, and you like, I know my glass did not just break. And you're frustrated, you're mad, and it makes you feel like, dang, but it's broken into so many pieces. You really just got to sweep that thing up, put it in that little bag, double that bag up, and throw it in the trash, because you can't put them pieces back together. And that's how the Lord wants us to be. When he breaks you, he's going to break you down to pieces. So that way you cannot try to find pieces and say, I got to put this back together, this together, that together. I got to, you know, do this and I got to do that. No. No. The Lord is going to see fit that when your deliverance take place, you don't have to find ways to go back. Unless you are truly trying to go back. So let him break you into all these different pieces. So all the Lord has to do is just sweep you into his kingdom. But the difference between the broken glass goes into trash. But this difference is the broken glass becomes made whole, and it now has a purpose for its life. So be purposeful. Allow God to push purpose inside of you. Allow the Lord to show you that you don't have to live with this for the rest of your life. Yours don't have to be anxiety. Yours can be depression, oppression. It could be the enemy keeps putting sicknesses on you and diseases on you that you for some reason just can't get out of. But you got to confess it out of your mouth first and tell God what the issue is. Sometimes we may start walking on our own glass. And what happens, y'all, when we walk on our glass? We start getting little baby cuts. We start feeling like, ooh, 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 I forgot a piece. But don't let the enemy put you in a place where you feel like, I forgot something, I need to go back. No, you ain't forget nothing. You're done. It's over. Don't go back. Don't turn back. It may feel like you need to, but you don't have to turn back. You keep moving forward. Even if you do feel like you're being cut up because you walked on something that kind of reminded you of your past. So if it cuts you and you feel that feeling, it kind of stung a little bit, it low-key want to set you back a little bit, you get peroxide, and you put them little, you know, dab it up, put some Band-Aids on them cuts, and keep it pushing. That's it. That's it. Don't look back. Don't be trying to figure out, you know, what was this a reason? No. keep moving forward, because the enemy will send traps out there to see if you can catch the bait and see if you're going to allow them cuts to take you back to a place, because they are daily reminders of where you came from. Amen. So I just wanted to encourage you guys. I know we haven't talked, but it's like I said, it's go time. So I will be doing another podcast, hopefully this Friday. But I'm back, and I never left. I'm back. I just need to be isolated so the Lord can walk out my deliverance, so that way I can give you guys what you need to walk out your deliverance. And if you need me to do a part two, I will do a part two, so that way we can all walk this out together. Because we always believe, well, I'll say the believers believe, that we don't ever have to be delivered, because once we said Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then we're fine. But deliverance is for the body of believers. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. The righteous, that means his people. Many are the afflictions. We have afflictions. We have things going on in our lives. But then the scripture also says, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So that means that deliverance is our portion. Deliverance is for us too. So we have to continue to look at the things that we're struggling with, so that way we can be delivered, set free, teach our brothers and sisters, and then also keep walking into our freedom, because the freedom is ours. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus didn't go back to that lame man and say, you know you're not free, right? No, he said, you are made well. When he found Jesus again, he said, you are made well. You are well. Go live your life now. That means you are free. There's no more chains holding you. You're not walking in bondage. You're not walking, you know, slow footed, because you don't know what's going to come in front of you, because somebody going to possibly trip you. No, you're free on every side. But you can't be free until you start opening up your mouth and confessing those things that are ugly. If you're a person that needs to journalize it, journal it. It's not going to sound easy, because it's a breaking. But you got to confess it, because it doesn't belong in your life. That's why it's breaking you. It's tearing you down. It's making you feel less of a person. You can't move forward. You're going through that because it doesn't belong to the kingdom. It doesn't belong in your body. When you presented your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto our Father, that means anything outside the kingdom, it does not belong. So if something has a stronghold on you that makes you almost feel like you cannot break this thing, it's because it does not belong. So let the Lord deliver you. Let him set you free. But you got to put the work in by honestly every day renewing your mind daily, knowing that you have been set free. And that man turned around and listened to that man that was speaking to him, that religious leader, and said, well, you are right. He did heal me on the Sabbath day. And I do know that I shouldn't have got healed on that day. So let me turn around and go lay on my mat and walk and lay back down. So not every sickness going to hit that man again if he went back there. So that's why it's important. Don't look back, because you may not be strong enough to look back. Keep moving forward. Get you some heavy hitter friends that's going to encourage you to keep walking in your purpose. It may not be easy. You may have to cry. You're going to feel broken. You're going to feel like you can't make it. But the more you keep walking forward and no longer accepting the thing that no longer belongs to your body, you're walking out deliverance. You're walking out freedom. You're walking out the newness of what God already has set out for you, according to Genesis 1:26. You are free. You are free. You are free. Say it with me. I am free. I am free. The song says, I am free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. And it is just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. And what's so awesome about the freedom on the other side, once you're delivering, you feel that thing and you're walking it out and you feel the freedom, you then for some reason start seeing your sisters and brothers in Christ going through it. And you can see it because it used to be you. And it makes you want to kind of gravitate to them and then start teaching them how to walk out their deliverance. And this is what I'm doing to you. I am free. I feel the freedom. I feel that I'm walking this thing out. I know that every day is not going to be great because the enemy is going to try to keep reminding me, but I have the word to stand on, and I'm walking out this freedom, and it feels so good. So I will forever walk out this freedom until I am completely set free, and I want you to do the same. I don't want to drag this out no longer, but I just need to encourage you that deliverance is your portion, that deliverance is for you, that confession is the first key to your deliverance, and you have to be willing to put yourself in that place of vulnerability to speak out the very thing you don't want to say, because that's the first step to your deliverance. So I encourage you, if you got to be around somebody that's going to help you and push you in the spirit and pray with you, then you find that person. But start your deliverance today in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want to just say thank you, Father God, for my brother and my sister that is listening to this podcast. Lord God, you have shown that deliverance is our portion. You have shown that you are for us and you will never be against us, Lord God. You have shown that the things that even we're struggling right now, Lord God, that the reason why it's a struggle is because it does not belong to the kingdom. And when you see us, Father God, we are a part of your kingdom. We are a part of your nation. We are a part of the plan. We are a part of the purpose, Lord God. So anything that is not part of it, Lord God, it has to go. So Father God, I just thank you that you are causing these things to erupt outside of us, Lord God, so we know that we have to detach it out of our lives. We thank you that we have your word to lean on, Lord God. We thank you that we can stand knowing that we're not standing alone. We thank you, Father God, that we can confess out of our mouths the truth, because the truth is going to set us free and keep us free, Lord God. We thank you that all we have to do is just trust in you, even when we don't understand, even when certain things don't make sense in our lives, even when we don't even realize what deliverance is and how it works. The fact that we now know that we have to confess, walk it out, and see how this thing is going to manifest itself, those are steps, Lord God, into deliverance, into your kingdom, becoming better stewards of your word, becoming better stewards of being closer to you. The closer we get to you, those things have to shed off anyway. So I thank you, Lord God, that when we see you, we see the perfection in you. And when we see the perfection in you, it kind of shows the error in us and the things that we need to work on. So we thank you, Lord God, that we have access to your kingdom, that deliverance is our portion, that we can call on you and we can receive deliverance, and we don't have to worry about our lives, Lord God, but we can just trust in you to shed these things off of us. So when they see us, they see you, Lord God. So we thank you that you are perfect in all of your ways. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die and give us life and give it to us now more abundantly, that we don't have to kill animals for burnt sacrifices. We can just lift up our hands and say, Father, we repent. Anything that we have done that has caused us to get to this place that requires us to be delivered, Lord God, we repent, Lord God, and we are now going to use a new education in our mindsets, Father God, to do your will, to do your way, so that way we can get it, and then we can teach others on how to get it. So we thank you, Father God, because you have no respect to person. We thank you, Father God, that you're cleaning us up, oh God, and you're making us whole. So I thank you, Lord God, that all things are now working together for the good of those that believe and that are called according to your purpose. We don't have nothing to worry about because we have confessed, we have repented, we are turning away from it, and we are now operating into the new education that you have for us, Lord God. We thank you and we love you, and we know that all things are working together right now for our good. And that is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Y'all have a great and awesome day. I just pray that the Lord will continue to do a new thing. I pray that you will continue to remind yourself of how important you are into the kingdom of God. I pray that you will continue to see yourself as more than what you see that you are. I pray that you will surround yourself with people that are doing even more greater works than you, so you continue to have the mindset to keep growing and growing and growing in the name of Jesus. So this year, deliverance is your portion. This year, abundance is in your portion. This year, elevation is in your portion. This year, things that you have been asking for can now be handed to you because you walk in out deliverance. So you don't have nothing to worry about. You just thank God in the midst of it. You thank God for what he's about to do, because eyes truly have not seen and ears have not heard. And that goes for you too, because you may feel like, I don't even qualify for this, but the Lord says you qualify. You've done the work. You put the time in. You labored. You suffered. You went through all of these things to get yourself to right where he needs you to be. So I'm rooting for you. I love you. And I just cannot wait to see all of what God has in store for you. Amen. Have a good day.